Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sean Landetta, 22-year-old NFL veteran, joins us now. As good of a punter as you'll ever see, and he should be a Hall of Famer one day in Canton, Ohio. Hey, Sean, Andrew Bogish, Mark Melusis, thanks for a couple minutes this morning, bud. How you doing?
Very good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it, Sean. You know, as good of a day as we've seen in the NFL all season, what we all witnessed yesterday.
You know, I agree with you. I mean, I'm watching these games, and I'm saying to myself, I hope football fans realize just how great and how good these guys played, how precise they are, how exciting these games are. So many of them go right down to the wire. And, you know, I think you're seeing football played at the best level it's ever been.
Sean, not to pull it apart, though, but there's still a lot of bad officiating and a lot of bad, like, not strategy, but technical decisions by teams, by coaches, not using timeouts, burning timeouts, silly challenges. Some of the things I'm still surprised that teams don't have a better handle on by now.
No, you can make a point for that, a case for that. I think one thing the competition committee really should look at is giving teams maybe one challenge a half to challenge a call. Because no one wants a call to be a game to be decided on a bad call. And a lot of these plays happen so quickly, but we have the luxury of seeing the slow motion replay. And, you know, teams should be given the chance to challenge a call that could really affect the game. And we see it every week. And, you know, as far as other decisions that are made, yes. I mean, I agree with you. Sometimes, you know, they have so many guys in their ear and they only have a few seconds to make a decision. And, you know, in the end, some of these decisions they're making, right, when they look back, really they would take it back if they could.
All right, Sean, some interesting, number one is, you know, what issue did you have with what the Patriots did defensively at the end of that game where the Dolphins had the 69-yard flea flicker for a touchdown yesterday? What did the Patriots do wrong on that play?
Well, obviously, there were so many things that happened on that play, but the one thing that stood out to me, and I'm sure Bill Belichick will go over this because we all know what a great coach he is. You talk about having Gronkowski back there. Obviously, you want a tall guy to knock down the Hail Mary, but you say to yourself where they were on the field, they weren't going to throw that ball in the air into the end zone. I mean, if you put nine guys back on the 10-yard line and let them catch it in front of you, they probably wouldn't score. Now, I know this is after the fact, and that almost never happens, but I think he'll look at that again and say to himself, if I'm against a team where they can't put the ball in the air in the end zone, I don't need to have that 6'7" tight end back there. I need to have a professional tackler, a defensive back, a linebacker, or even a defensive end.
Sean, the Dolphins said they practice that play basically every week. I'm sure you guys practice something regularly with the Giants, a fake punt or something like that. When you're running through such a strange play that you know you may never actually need, are you practicing it like at full speed, thinking it's going to work? I mean, what on a Tuesday or well, not a Tuesday, on a Thursday or Friday, you're doing a weird play like that. Are you really intent on perfecting it in case you need it?
You know, that's a great question because you probably can visualize a team practicing that, and guys may be laughing as they're doing it and having fun because of all the laterals and craziness, but that's where the coaching is so important. The coach has to get across to these guys, look, this may happen, and we can't have this play work in a game if in practice you're throwing it and lateraling it and laughing and thinking it's just something that won't happen. So the coaches really have to bear down and say, look, you know, even though this is a gadget play, you have to run this play thinking you can make it work. And after that, you have to get lucky. I mean, I'm sure that play will be broken down, and a lot of us will see things that if one guy on New England would have made one little different move, it wouldn't have worked. But what an exciting finish, and that's one of the great things about football, just the fact that that thing can happen.
Sean, after winning six in a row, the Steelers have lost three in a row now after a brutal loss yesterday in Oakland against the Raiders. Andrew and I talked about it earlier on. Can you explain the rationale for Tomlin keeping Roethlisberger out of the game when he returned to the sideline about 8.5 minutes to go in the third quarter and was medically cleared to play?
You know, I can't. I'm sure he was asked about it and will be asked about it again, because obviously you would think you would want him in there because he would give you the best chance to win. I don't know why he wouldn't be put back in as soon as he was cleared to play, and as you said, he was. I don't know if they wanted to give him a breather or maybe, you know, let him clear himself, clear his head a little bit. I don't know, but that certainly hurt him, and you're right. For the Steelers battling for a division title, and they still may win it. I mean, as bad as things have been, I think they're still in first place in that division. But, you know, that was a terrible loss to a 2-10 team.
Sean, where's your confidence level now in this Cowboy team? 5 straight wins, obviously different with Cooper on the offense. They, through 3.5 quarters, more great defense yesterday. How close are they maybe to the elite teams in the NFC in your mind right now?
I think they're close. I don't think they're one of them. I certainly think, even though they beat New Orleans, and you got to give them all the credit for that, you know, I still think the Rams, you know, and the Saints are the class of that. And I do think the Bears are a better team. But, you know, out of 16 teams in the NFC, you know, this is a top 5 team, maybe 4. And you have to give them credit. They were left for dead. I believe they were 3-5, talking about their coach getting fired. And as you said, all of a sudden they're in a great position to win the NFC East. And, you know, it's amazing what the acquisition of Amari Cooper has done for them.
Yeah, it really is open. It has opened everything up, and that was a hell of a win for Dallas. But I think you saw a lot of heart and fight from the defending champs yesterday in Philadelphia.
Oh, you did. You did. I mean, as it's in overtime, you know, I played 5 years for the Eagles and enjoyed my time there, and certainly I was rooting for them. But I said to myself, either way, what a great game, and how great that the Eagles are down there, you know, really fighting and having a chance to win this game. I mean, they played their hearts out, but just not quite enough. And, you know, just another thing that happens the year after a Super Bowl. You know, last year they make the extra point, and maybe it doesn't go to overtime. But they did fight their hearts out. They really played hard.
Sean, did you ever think going into last night that the Rams would only score 6 points?
You know, I wouldn't. I was very surprised by that. I mean, I know the Bears, you know, have a terrific team, and obviously their defense is outstanding. But the way they've scored points, you certainly thought they'd at least put up 10-14 at the minimum. But we saw this happen with the Saints at Dallas. Very similar thing. But give the Bears credit. They bounced back for, you know, a very tough loss at the Giants the week before. And, you know, they're probably going to win that division. And, you know, that was good. Now it comes down to, you know, if they make the playoffs, which I think they will, will they be able to win on the road?
Yeah, and that's going to be key. We're talking to Sean Landetta, 22-year NFL veteran, joining Mark Melusis and Andrew Bogus here on this Monday morning on CBS Sports Radio. Sean, the NFL, you look at the young stars in this league and guys that do it just a little bit differently. And in Kansas City, Mahomes, the ability to make all the throws, what he is as an athlete, the style in which he plays the quarterback position – I think you make the argument right now, you know, he's probably the most physically gifted quarterback at this position. You agree?
You know, I think I do agree. I think a few of the others that, you know, we've all seen that are amazing and have done it for years. But when you talk about how young he is and what he's done in his short career, you can really make that case. You know, he's mobile, his throws on the run, against the grain, you know, every week it seems like he does something that all of us say, wow. And this isn't an 8-year veteran who's 30 years old. You know, this is a youngster in his second year. And boy, the Chiefs are really lucky. If this kid's healthy, they're going to be competitors. They're going to be in it for a long time.
Yeah, they are. And what about the performance of Saquon Barkley for the Giants?
You know, that the guy's just such a great player. I mean, every week you watch him, almost no matter what the team does, you know, the fans, and you say to yourself, what a player. And, you know, again, you know, I'm watching him play yesterday, and I'm saying to myself, you know, do the Giants have another Barry Sanders on their hands? I mean, could this guy be, you know, close to him? And certainly at this point you can say yes. I mean, obviously he's got to do a lot to do what Barry did, but for him to be this young and this good, you know, the Giants really are in good shape for a long time. You know, it's probably been since Tiki Barber, going back 12 years, that they had a consistent 1,000-yard rusher. And this kid fits the bill, and he's exceptional. It's turned out to be one of the best picks they've ever made.
Wait, I got to go back to Mahomes here just for a second, Sean. Are you saying that Phil Sims didn't have a no-look pass in his repertoire back in the 80s?
You know, Phil could do some different things. He was a real good athlete. We send him out, you know, on pass plays, you know, after he'd throw to a receiver. But, you know, Phil, I think, was an underrated quarterback. You know, in 1984, he goes for over 4,000 yards, which really put him on the map. But, you know, Phil was excellent, had a great career, but certainly the things this young man can do are exceptional.
You know, Sean, this year, and I wanted to ask you a question in terms of, you know, the punting and kicking. We've seen such a turnover this year, as we've seen young kickers come in, get cut, then get other opportunities, as we've seen with other organizations. We saw Boswell yesterday for the Steelers had a rough day with the turf conditions. How difficult is it when you get to the later stages of the NFL year where the turf is chewed up and you're a kicker trying to make sure that you have the proper footing to do what you're paid to do?
You know, it is tough, and I think that's where experience comes in. I know numerous times the fields today are so exceptional, and you'll almost never see a field in the terrible shape Oakland's was later. But I don't know how many times through the years where I'd go to punt where, you know, the field was loose underneath me, and you almost had to walk into the punt because if you exploded like you normally do, you would have happened what happened to him. And I don't know if that's something he took into account, that maybe he needs to approach the ball slower, because there's a tremendous amount of force when you plant your left foot and the field underneath you is loose. That can happen, but you got to know that can happen. And, you know, I'm not sure he took that into account. But, yeah, the place kicking has been very interesting the last year or two, guys. The average career for a kicker in the NFL is 7 years. It's the longest of any position. And there's a number of teams that have been through 3, 4, 5 kickers just in 2 or 3 years. You know, really interesting what's going on at that position.
Sean Landetta, 22-year NFL vet. Hey, Sean, we appreciate the time this morning, getting your thoughts on all the great action yesterday in Week 14 of the NFL. And we'll chat again soon. All right, bud?
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.